as I reminded you, your definition of short and mine's two different things, but this isn't going to be a long message this morning. I really want to be pretty focused on our text. Our text this morning is John 16, verses 13 through 15. Jesus said, "When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is Mine. Therefore, I said He will take what is Mine and declare it to you." This morning, it's just the title of the message is just simply the Holy Spirit. Jesus had told His disciples that He was going to leave. Of course, He was going to the cross. And He told them He was going to die, and in 3 days He'd be raised again and go back to the Father. Well, they didn't comprehend fully what He meant. The Scriptures bear that out. In fact, they said they questioned among themselves, what's He talking about? And they were afraid to ask Him. And all they knew was that Jesus was leaving, and they were full of sorrow. And Jesus gave His church then and His church now a beautiful relational promise. In John 14, this is the preceding chapter of this, at verse 18, He says, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see Me no more, but you will see Me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in My Father, and you in Me, and I in you. Whoever has My commandments and keeps them, he is the one who loves Me, and he who loves Me will be loved by My Father, and I will love him and manifest Myself to him." Some of the controversies in churches today, not all, but some, is, and I won't stay on this very long, but is the argument about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Is He for us today? I've heard it said, no, the Holy Spirit's mainly the Bible, because they didn't have the Bible then. They had to have the reliance on the Holy Spirit. Well, they had the Bible then. It was the Old Testament. And they needed the Holy Spirit to instruct them out of the Old Testament. One of the last things Jesus did before He left was He was with His guys, His apostles, and it said He opened their mind to understand the Scriptures. He still does that. Why would God write a book and not give us His Spirit to explain it to us? In fact, that would be counterproductive, because the Bible says you can't understand the Word unless the Spirit explains it to you. So I disagree with that statement. We have the same enemy. I don't believe the gifts of the Spirit died with the apostles. I can't see God doing that when we have the same enemy the apostles had. Now, I know it's been abused and misused and twisted, but so has every other doctrine in the church. So I think it's dangerous in the church today, and the devil loves it when we'll single something out as important as the person of the Holy Spirit and try to make Him less than what He is and say, well, He doesn't apply to us today. And it goes back to us saying to God, we'll do it our way, thank you. We don't want Your Spirit teaching us and instructing us. Jesus promises the faithful that He will manifest Himself. Manifest means to reveal. And, you know, I've been preaching on the hard sayings of Jesus, and they're kind of hard. When you get to reading them, they're kind of where the rubber meets the road. They're the kind of things that demand a verdict or a decision on our part. And the last thing I talked about was Jesus said, bear your cross. Every day you have to pick up your cross, and you have to die to self. And that's strange to us in this society. When we are raised and taught from childhood, you've got to look out for you. You know, you got to look out for number one, and that's the message of the world. If you don't watch out for you, nobody else will. And sadly, a lot of the world's thinking is you progress yourself no matter what it costs, no matter who gets hurt, no matter who you have to step on, you look out for you because no one else will. And when Jesus tells us you need to die to yourself and carry the cross, that sounds counter to what we've been taught all of our lives, because we want to cling to ourselves. You know, we're afraid we're going to lose our identity. And then justifiably we may say, well, I can't do that. And God knows you can't do it. But God doesn't leave us to do it on our own. He has sent the person of the Holy Spirit to guide us, to teach us. Jesus said He'll reveal the whole truth to you. He'll show you things that are going to come. He said He will take things that are mine and show them to you. And again, some people say, well, that was just for the apostles. Well, if that's the truth, that's sad. If God said, I'm only going to reveal myself to these 11 people and nobody else, why should I follow Him? Because I need to know Him if I'm going to follow Him. All the promises of God, especially in the New Testament, are relational promises. I read you that in John 14 where Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. They were devastated. Actually, John 12 to about John 18 is all one long discourse. Jesus talking to His men. There's no break except when they go into the Garden of Gethsemane and He's talking to them about these different things and He says, guys, I'm going to leave. Well, they're devastated. Now what are we going to do? But Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. You see, through the person of the Holy Spirit, Jesus promised He will come and live within us. And that's hard for us to get a hold of sometimes. Sometimes it seems mind-blowing. Sometimes I think it's a false humility. Well, I'm not worthy to have Jesus in me. No, you're not. I'll agree with you there. I'm not worthy to have the Spirit of the Holy God in me. But God's made me worthy through the blood of Jesus Christ. He sanctified me. He set me apart for a holy purpose, His purpose. And He does not just impart righteousness or impute it. He imparts it. Big difference. Well, what's the difference? Well, if God imputes righteousness to me, that just means He looks at me and says, I'm righteous no matter what I'm doing. I'm righteous because that's all He sees. The Bible doesn't teach that. That's a doctrine of man. God imparts His righteousness on us through the person of the Holy Spirit. And God says through the Holy Spirit, you walk this way. You need to do this. You need to let go of that. You need to hang on to this. He is perfecting us in holiness. The Bible says He is molding us into the image of Jesus Christ. It goes along with what Jesus taught. I shared about that friend of mine that said, I tried being a Christian and I can't live that way. And I said, I can't either, but the Holy Spirit in me does. If I listen and submit to Him. You know, that makes it a little less scary the farther I go to understand God's in control. And God doesn't say, Rick, just get out there and do the best that you can under your own power. He says, I will work through you through my Spirit. And it's not just a promise to preachers and missionaries. It's a promise to everyone who has ever come to Jesus Christ. The person of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Jesus calls Him the Spirit of truth. That's a comfort to me. We get confused even today in the church. What's right and what's wrong? Well, don't ask the preacher. I might be as confused as you are. Read the Word and pray and ask God to show you what's right and wrong. He'll tell you. And God's not a moral relativist. He doesn't say, well, now what's wrong for Rick isn't necessarily wrong for you. God says this is right and this is wrong, period. My job is just to say, okay. Wayne, and we were talking about this in Sunday school, and Wayne mentioned humility. That's what it takes on our part. That's why Jesus said you got to die to yourself, because yourself will flare up and say, that don't make no sense. And God's saying, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. It don't have to make sense to you. Just agree and follow me. And when you get on the other side, you go, wow, I'm glad I followed the Lord. If I'd have went my way, I'd have really messed it up. What a God we serve that He says, I'm not asking you to do this on your own. There's a beautiful passage, several of them in the Old Testament, but one of them that God says, and I can't remember the scripture and the verse right off, but I remember He says, I will place my Spirit in them and I will be their God and they will be my people. That's personal relationship. You know, when God appeared to Abraham and He talked to him and He said, I'll be your God. And Abraham said, I'll take you up on that. When He appeared to Isaac, He didn't say, Isaac, I'm your daddy's God and now I'm your God. He said, Abraham, I'm the God of your dad Abraham. Isaac had to say, I want you to be my God. And then God said, now I'm your God. Then when He appeared to Jacob, He said, I'm the God of your father, Abraham and Isaac. But He didn't say automatically, I'm your God, Jacob. Jacob said, if you'll do this, you'll be my God. And God said, I'll take it. Well, in the new covenant we're in, God, on His own initiative, says, I will put my Spirit in you. Paul calls Him the Spirit of adoption, whereby we may cry, Abba, Father. And God said, I'll be your God. What a privilege we have. Do you know not everybody that calls Jesus Lord is His disciple? The Bible points that out. Not everybody that claims to be a child of God is a child of God. But God said, I'll place my ownership on you by placing my Spirit within you, and that marks you as my child, and I'm your God. Wow. Well, John said, the God that's in me is greater than the God of this world, Satan. So why should I fear? Why should I look at the task of walking this life that God's called me to walk and say, it's just impossible? What's impossible with God? Nothing. What's God asking from me? Obey me. Follow me. Trust me. Well, I don't understand this. I didn't say you had to understand everything I say to you. I just said, trust me. The Holy Spirit is no less than the Spirit of Christ. Jesus said in John 14, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Did you notice the plural? We. So you not only have Jesus living in your heart, you have God the Father living in your heart, and God the Holy Spirit living in you. You have the Trinity Godhead living inside of you. That's hard to accept, isn't it? Oh, no, wait a minute, brother. That sounds a little bit aloof to me, like you're almost claiming we're gods. I'm not God, but He's in me. The one who said light be and light was lives right in here. And He does that out of His own choice. Now, I had to come to Christ and come under that blood. I had to admit that I was a sinner and say, you're right, God, I'm wrong. And Jesus, in these hard sayings, He says, now look, I got to be your whole life, your life and nothing but your life. I have to be your bread and water. You have to depend on me for your life, for your very being, and you have to be willing to die to yourself if you want to follow me. And if we say yes, Jesus says, come on and follow me. But He doesn't say, do it in your own power. He says, I'll put my Spirit in you, the Spirit of the Holy Christ, the Spirit of the Holy Father, the Holy Spirit is in you, and He will teach you about the truth. You ever been listening to teaching or preaching and have a red flag come up inside of you and you think, wait a minute, something's wrong with that? That's the Holy Spirit. Learn to trust Him. Now, if it clashes with the Word, then don't listen to that. That's not the Holy Spirit. God doesn't contradict Himself. But what a great God we serve that He's not leaving us on our own. That's why He left the Word. Church of Christ preacher the last two Sundays has been preaching on the 10 most reasons people give for not reading the Word. And I agree with him. What's sad is a lot of that comes out of the church. Christians, why they don't read the Bible. You know, this is our lifeline. This is the character and the heart of God. This is the mind of God written in these pages. The Apostle Paul said, left to us as an example that we may know. And when you have the book to read and you have the author of the book within you, who better to explain this to you? When I was at SBU, we had to do this in English too. We had to critique these poets. Now, I like poetry, not all of it. I don't like the new stuff. It's all bleh to me, but I like the old poets. And I remember one critic said, Robert Frost hated nature. Well, I like Robert Frost. And I said, you're an idiot, is what I, you know, that was my review. Well, this critic's an idiot, because the teacher said, what do you think of that? And I thought, honestly, you know, if I really want to know what Robert Frost meant in this stanza, the best way for me to find out would be to talk to Robert Frost. Now, he's not here anymore. But, I mean, that'd be the best way. And if we want to know what's in this book, we need to go to the author. We need to read it in the first place. That's why I left it here. And we need to go to the author, and He lives within you. And we need to pray and say, Lord, show me your truth. Jesus said He would. He said He's going to tell you the truth, the Holy Spirit. He said He will manifest me to you. He will reveal me to you. And then He said in this promise, me and the Father will be in you. You know, I think if more of us Christians understood that and got a hold of that truth, we'd be unstoppable. We'd be the kind of people that every morning when our feet hit the floor, I think the devil would say, oh, no, they're up again. You know, man, here we go. Paul called him the mind of Christ. I've heard that all my life. Well, now, who can know what God really thinks? And God's mysterious. Well, what kind of a God would say, I want you to follow me, but I'm not going to reveal myself to you, so you'll grope around in the dark and just wonder if you're doing right or wrong? That's sadistic. God's not that way. God says, you come to me and I'll reveal myself to you. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:11-16, who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? That's true. There's things you know about you, you hope nobody knows. You know God does, but I mean, you hope nobody else finds out. And that's what Paul's saying. Who knows you better than your spirit? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. True. Now listen to the love that God has for His people. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Do you understand that implication? Who knows God better than His Spirit? And Paul said He didn't give us another spirit, not a worldly spirit. He gave us His Spirit. Why? Because He wants us to know Him. God is holy. He doesn't have anything that He needs to hide and hope we don't find out about. And He's placing His Spirit within us so we can know Him. What if God gave you that option and said, I'll give you 5 minutes, you can take your spirit, put it in any way you want in this church? I'd say, no, thank you. You know, because they might not want me up here preaching after they've had 5 minutes of my spirit in them, knowing my deep, secret sins from my past. But God is such an open and honest God. He says, I want you to know me, and I'm going to put my spirit in you so you can know me. He said, we might understand freely what He's given to us. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. Paul said, that's the way we're teaching. We're teaching you things the Holy Spirit teaches us. If you have the Spirit within you, you're going to get it. Now, that's not arrogance, but Paul says, you'll get it because the Holy Spirit's going to explain it to you. God's not a God of confusion. He said, the natural person doesn't accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. It's foolishness. He's not able to understand him because they're spiritually discerned. I've had people say, you know, I just don't understand the Bible. Now, I've tried and read it, and I just don't understand it. Well, I always advise them, talk to the author. You know, if you're a child of God, you're not meant to not understand the Word. God wrote this Word so you would understand it, so you would grow to know Him. Now, there are scholars that devote their whole lives to that. And yeah, they know a lot more than I do about language and things, but they don't know God any better than I do. And I don't mean that in arrogance, because I serve a God that wants me to know Him. How well do you want to know Him? How deep do you want to go? That's the way God looks. How much do you want to know me? Because see, the closer you get to Him, the more God says, you need to let this go. You need to let that go. You need to get this out of your life. That's that dying to self. And that's why Jesus said, you can't follow me if you're not willing to do that. There'll be a clash. You know, the Holy Spirit will be saying, I need you to do this. And you'll say, well, I don't think that's the Holy Spirit. I don't want to listen to that. And you'll argue and go back and forth with God. God says, that's not what I want from you. Do you trust Him? Do you trust the Lord? Do you trust that this is the Word? Amen. And you need to let the Spirit in you do His job. Paul says, who has understood the mind of the Lord so to instruct Him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's the person of the Holy Spirit. He's the very mind of Christ. Paul said, allow this mind to be in you. That's how the King James words in Philippians 2, the NIV says, let this mind, and that's not a bad translation. I've looked at the commentaries, but I like the way the King James says that, let this mind be in you. Allow it. Allow the mind of Christ to be in you. He's that still, small whisper sometimes. When you want to go this way, they'll say, no, you need to go over here. When you want to react this way, He says, no, don't do that. Don't say that. Don't act that way. You have to listen and follow Him. Jesus said the Holy Spirit won't speak on His own authority, but He'll speak only what He hears. Sound familiar? When the Jews questioned Jesus about His teaching, He said, it's not mine. I just told you what the Father told me. You see what Jesus was doing? He was relying 110% on the Holy Spirit in His ministry. and he listened to what he's saying. I'm going to take that spirit that's in me and I'm going to give him to you. And I believe that in the church today, if we will stand upon the Word of God and on His teachings, that we can look the world right in the eye and say the same thing Jesus did. I'm only telling you what the Father told me. And that can end all disputes and all debates. We don't have to stand there and argue with them. That would be my answer to an evolutionist professor. I'm not as educated as you, but I'll only tell you what my Father told me. We didn't come from monkeys. We were made in the image of God. Can I explain it scientifically? Nope. But I'm just telling you what my Father said. I want you to be encouraged this morning to understand that Jesus has not withheld anything from His people. We have the power to live the life we've been called. We have His mind, His very heart living within us, that we can go to Him, the Bible says, boldly in our time of need and receive help. I want to close with what Jesus prayed in John 17 before He went to the cross. He said, "The glory that You have given to Me, I have given to them." Now, does Jesus lie? Does Jesus exaggerate? Mm-mm. What a prayer. He said, "Father, the glory You've given to Me, I've given to My church." Because He knows that we have to have that. You remember in that same prayer, He said, "I'm not praying for the world. I'm praying for the ones You've given to Me." And then He said, "I'm not asking You to take them out of the world, but I'm asking You to protect them from the evil." Well, how's He going to do that? Jesus said, "The glory that You've given to Me, I'm giving to My people." We're here because we have a job to do as Christians. He says, "I want them to be one, even as we are one. I in You, I in them, and You in Me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that You sent Me and love them even as You love Me." It's all about the Lord. He places His Spirit within His people. He enables us to bear the cross and to die to self daily through the power of the Holy Spirit. He enables us to bring Him glory through the Spirit. And if you are being led by the Spirit of Christ, your heart's desire will be to glorify Jesus Christ. Not yourself, not your church, Jesus Christ. Why don't you stand with me? Isn't our God a great God? Do you understand how much He loves you? He's not some tyrannical being saying, "You'll do this because I said." He's the kind of God that says, "I'm going to put My Spirit within you, and I'm going to give you this chance to become intimate with Me so you can know Me and realize this is the right thing that you need to do." What's our song of invitation? I'd like to have a quick congregational meeting, and then we'll eat dinner after the meeting, and there's no church services tonight. I don't have any written prayer requests before me, so who has the closing prayer? Doc, would you mind closing for us, please?
Lord, again, we just thank you for this day today, and Lord, we just thank you so much for the message Rick brought us this morning. We just thank Brother Rick for what he does for us. Lord, we just thank you again this evening for the blessings that you give us. Father, we just thank you for those that are here today, and we just ask you to be with those that couldn't be here today. And Father, just be with us with this short meeting we have and with our lunch. And Father, we just thank you so much for the eternal love that you give each and every one of us. And it's in your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. If you need to leave, that's fine. You know, you don't have to stay. Those that want to stay, you can